is Brad Milkey of ABC News Start Here podcast with your sports update. Down one star, the Golden State Warriors keep winning thanks to the rejuvenation of another. We'll explain coming up.
Bodega, 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 Alpha and Omega. Siamese sailors sell celery sandwiches. A wing about a serving platter.
Hey, Jamie?
Yes?
Did you want to try reading that line on the script there?
Oh, yeah, let's see. You could save big when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive, that one?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm just not warmed up yet. Shouldn't be long. Detector test.
Indecent bundle your home and auto with Progressive down. Today.
The marmot mangled my mushy pork pancake.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Warrior star Klay Thompson is out for the 2021 season with a torn Achilles tendon, but in his absence, two-time MVP Steph Curry has stepped up in a big way. Curry sits near the top of the league in points scored and three-pointers made and set a new personal best with 62 points in a single game.
This ABC Sports Update was brought to you by Progressive. Drivers who switch to Progressive can save an average of $668.
HD Smartcast.
You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Population has been always a very, very political issue here in India, perhaps drawing its roots from the entire sterilization scheme of the government during Indira Gandhi's emergency. Well, even now, it continues to be a political hot potato, but there are so many myths surrounding this, and I only realized it when I read former Chief Election Commissioner Dr. S.Y. Qureshi's book, which is an academic work, but is very, very readable because it puts out in different chapters the various kind of misconceptions that there are about population growth here in India and debunks them, putting out facts. So Dr. Qureshi, thank you very much for speaking with Hindustan Times. And what I thought would be really fun to do on our show, on the record today, is basically look at the five population myths that surround us, which we've all heard. They are very, very often circulated on social media and on WhatsApp. So if you want to know the truth about population growth here in India, this is what you should be watching. So the first myth, Dr. Qureshi, that I want you to talk to us about is the one about the fact that polygamy is very, very is the reason behind population explosion in India. It's something that's associated with the Muslim community, and that people feel is the reason why there has been a population explosion. Why do you say it's a myth?
Number one, it is not confined to Muslims alone. Status of Women in India Committee in 1975, the only study so far done, shows that all communities in India are polygamous. And interestingly, the least polygamous were the Muslims. And to study it further, I looked at the census data from 1930 onwards, and I found in every census, Muslims were the least polygamous, followed by the Hindus. Hindus were more. But in any case, in both the communities, polygamy was going down. Now, so myth number one that Muslims are polygamous is wrong. They are less than any other community. Secondly, whether it leads to population growth, that also is a myth, because polygamy has its own limit in India statistically. You must have heard of gender ratio, where gender ratio is adverse against women, which is a sad story in itself. Unfortunate, we should be embarrassed that for 1,000 men, according to the latest last census 2011, there were 940 women. Now, this has been going on for the last 100 years, that number of women, there is not no one woman for every one man. So statistically, no man in India has even full wife, he has 0.9 wife, statistically. So because now, where is the second woman coming from for polygamy? Now, you might say that, okay, still some people may marry a second woman. But that is very good for population growth, because studies have shown and statistics show that the only wife of a husband, if he produces five children, from the second wife, it drops down to 1.2%. Now, the second wife, if there is polygamy, because correspondingly, there will be a guy who will remain a bachelor then. Right. So for population, polygamy actually is a good thing if it happens. And in any case, that is a very, very negligible percentage. And there the Muslims are the least. So there are several myths broken.
Which community is the most polygamous, sir?
Tribal communities, which is about 16%. And Hindus were 5.8, Muslims were 5.7 at the bottom.
Wow. That is definitely an eye-opener. Okay, sir. The second thing that you deal with is the one where we look at, well, this you dealt with as well, is the fact that, and you go about it by looking at other countries as well, and not just the Muslims here in India, that Muslims don't believe in family planning.
Yeah, you know, the Muslims don't believe in family planning. That was the belief everybody had, Hindus and Muslims. And before I started this study 25 years ago, accidentally, even I believed that Islam is against family planning. But when I studied the subject, I found very interestingly that the Quran nowhere prohibits family planning. In fact, there are only interpretations for or against. Now, I have analyzed those interpretations in one chapter, chapter 5, and I have come to the conclusion that Islam is not only not against family planning, Islam is a pioneer of family planning, which is very surprising and remarkable, because 1400 years ago, when there was no population pressure anywhere in the world, Quran was talking of the planned family. For instance, there is one verse in the Quran which says, young men, you should marry when you can afford it, when you can bring up a family. So somebody went to the Prophet, a poor man went to the Prophet seeking explanation. He said, I'm a poor man, but I also have my sexual needs. What should I do? So Prophet repeated that verse of the Quran and then amplified it. And he said, till you are in a position to marry, you should resort to fasting, because fasting suppresses sexual desires. Now together, these two verses of the Quran and the hadith, according to me, is the recommendation for family planning. Then there is another hadith which I have cited, that one person went to the Prophet and said that I have 4 or 5 many children. I don't want any more. The family planning method though, this was the withdrawal method, which was called azal, al-azal in Arabic. He said that I want to practice azal, but the Jew says that is a minor infanticide. The Prophet's reply was, no, the Jew lied. Now, which means even the method is prescribed and allowed. Now, modern methods are only the substitute for us. That was the only method known. So together and many other verses, I've tried to explain that Islam is actually the pioneer of the concept of family planning. And we have made a mistake in interpreting it. So, and I checked it with many ulama, because I didn't want to be on the wrong side of them. I didn't want to invite a fatwa against me. So, and they all agreed that Islam is very pro-family planning. Only thing which Islam, every interpretation prohibits, is sterilization. Yet, we will see that more than 20% of Muslims have adopted even sterilization. They've gone so much out of the way, even violating the uniform or standard principle that sterilization on the club, they've gone against it and they've gone for family planning. So, but for all the temporary methods, the spacing methods are encouraged, and they are even mentioned in the Quran. For instance, breastfeeding is compulsory for all mothers for 2 years. And as you know, breastfeeding is a great contraceptive. During that, conception is prevented. And so that the children can be looked after with this adequate gap properly. So now these were some of the things which were not widely known to even to me. And when I read it, then I tried to reach out to my Muslim audiences, requesting them, suggesting to them that family planning is good for them. Religion nowhere comes in the way. In fact, it had a very modern approach to the family planning, and we should all adopt it. Whatever may be the counter-propaganda, whatever may be the right-wing appeal to the Hindus to procreate more children so that the Muslims don't outnumber them, let us ignore and forget about that. But we should adopt family planning proactively.
So let me just recap, because I think these are all very complex. I mean, you make it sound very simple, but these are things which have gone down differently in popular perception. So let me just recap. First of all, what you're saying is that polygamy cannot, by itself, as a concept, cannot cause a population explosion. So that's first myth that you have debunked. Second, that Muslims are least polygamous. Tribals are the most polygamous. Out of communities, Muslims are the least. And even Hindus, just 0.1% is more than Muslims when it comes to polygamy. So two important clarifications are over there. And the next one, which is the third one, that Muslims do believe and Islam isn't against family planning. In fact, there are various kind of interpretations of it which have been propagated, but actually the faith isn't against family planning at all. Now, sir, I want you to talk about the fourth myth. That
before that,
is, yes.
No, sorry, Sunita, if I may add one point on polygamy, what we have discussed so far. Interestingly, what does Quran say about polygamy? There is only one verse in the Quran which doesn't encourage family polygamy. It only permits, because that was the time when, multiple marriages, 20, 30, 100 marriages was quite common. Now, that is the time in one verse of the Quran, in one chapter, which is on orphans, by the way. Now, Quran is talking, Allah is talking of the orphans and says that treat the orphans very fairly, treat them honestly, don't misappropriate their property, and do not exchange their good thing with your bad thing. And in fact, ideally, you should marry from among them, two, three, or four, as you may like. However, if you have to treat them absolutely equally, which, despite your ardent desire, is not easy. Therefore, you are advised to marry only one. Now, wow. This is the only verse in the Quran which talks of family planning. And you can see that this is... even Muslim interpreters do say that this is a permission, which is a conditional permission. Condition to treat equally. I have said in my book that there is not just one condition. There are actually two conditions. The second condition is that, remember the context, the words. The Quran is talking of orphans, and it says that from among them, from among the orphans, marry two, three, or four. Now, when I want to marry a second time, I'll look at, issueless divorcee, issueless widow. Now, who will marry the widows or divorcees who have children, because they need economic support? Now, actually, to me, there are two conditions. You can marry from among the orphans or a widow. And secondly, you have to treat her equally and not as a sex object and as a concubine.
Okay, sir. Thank you for that clarification. I want to come to the next one now, which is that going by it, it is kind of like a culmination of all of this as well, is that the birth rate of Muslims, the fertility rate of the Muslims is highest. And you make the clarification in your book that yes, that may be so. However, it's also declining faster than the Hindus' birth rate over the last three decades. Tell us more about that.
Yes. The allegations from the right wing have been that Muslims are multiplying very fast and as an organized conspiracy to overtake the Hindus to capture political power. And it is a very unpatriotic act to produce many children and blah, blah. Now, of course, I start my book with two admissions. And they also say that this high birth rate of the Muslims is disturbing the demographic balance. And now, number one, I admit that Muslim birth rate is the highest. Secondly, the demography has changed a little in the last 70 years. 84% Hindus have come down to 79.9 or 8, right? 4.2% Hindus have come down in 70 years. Muslims correspondingly have gone up from 9.8 to 14.2. So admitted, these two facts admitted. But the Muslims are catching up very fast, faster than the Hindus. All the figures of the last 40, 50 years show that their acceptance of family planning, and as I mentioned, even sterilization, is much faster. And they're going to not overtake the Hindus in birth rate. They are perhaps going to overtake them in family planning, acceptance of family planning. So those are the figures which come out. after 60 years, 4 percentage point increase in the Muslim population. And projections are that by in the next 90 years, 80 years, 2100, from 14% Muslims will become 18%. That's all. So there is no question of Muslims overtaking Hindus and capturing political power anytime soon. But, you know, also interestingly, I requested my friend, Professor Dinesh Singh, a great mathematician who was vice chancellor of Delhi University. I sent him my data. I said, Dinesh, please help me do a mathematical analysis. I may be mathematically illiterate, but please do this analysis. How soon will the Muslims overtake the Hindus? And he has done that analysis, which is a part of the book, and he said they can never. I was saying that maybe they can overtake in 600 years. He said, no question, not even in 600 years. So I think people who are spreading these rumors can rest assured the Muslims are nowhere near capturing power at all.
So sir, that slogan, Hindu khatre mein hai, is basically what you're saying, completely fake news?
Absolutely fake news. And in fact, I've asked this question, whether these guys are ignorant, they did not know these, or the other reason could be just a mischievous propaganda deliberately to create polarization between the community. Now, my belief is that the people who we are talking about are highly educated people. They are very research-oriented people. To imagine that they do not know the facts is beyond me. In which case, the second option will operate, that they are doing it mischievously. They know the fact, but yet talking about it. For instance, hum paanch hamare pachis. I have heard it from most senior politicians. Hum char hamare chalis is a slogan we hear every day. I would like to challenge them. Show me one Muslim with four wives and 25 children. One Muslim in 130 crore population.
Wow. Wow. So, no, sir, that really makes it clear. Final question to you, sir, because, you know, this also you go into, and I think you analyze policy and what's been the problem with it. There is talk of there being some kind of new initiative, policy initiative on the government to look at our population. What would you, as someone who's now done work on this, advise government to do when it comes to tackling population?
I think our population policy has been very good, very effective. And unlike many countries, we have done a good job in controlling our population. And the high population, which used to give us nightmares about 40 years ago, was soon converted into a demographic dividend, which we are benefiting from. And imagine the way that India is ruling the world, you know, in America, all the scientists, all the doctors, everyone is an Indian. That is only when 1% of our population has got that kind of education. Imagine if a fraction of the remaining 99% also became so able to capture the world service sector, where will we be? We have become an economic superpower thanks to our human resource. And instead of a liability, we have started considering them as human resource. And if we invest more in their education, that has been missing. Education, particularly of girls, just see where we'll go. We will capture the service sector of the world.
Dr. Esfaq Qureshi, thank you so much for speaking with us. Such a pleasure. And thank you for busting those myths.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.